Now, if you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 13, which we began to study only the last time we were with you. We read to you the entire chapter, which we are not going to take the time to do today, hoping that you have read it and reread it since our last broadcast. We began to talk to you about the various characters in the chapter, and the last time we were with you, we were talking about the Antichrist in Revelation 13, as he is the fulfillment of the promise given in Genesis 3:15, in the words, "I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed." The seeds in this passage of Scripture in Genesis 3:15, we said, were the Antichrist and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let us today go to the 13th chapter of the book of the Revelation and notice the description of the seed of the devil. Notice the description of the Antichrist himself. Some of the statements about the seed of the devil are easily understood. Some of them can be understood only as we compare Scripture with Scripture. And some of them we may even have to await further light as we seek to know exactly what God has to say about him. The first thing that I would like for you to notice in chapter 13, verse 1, is from where this beast came, from where the Antichrist makes his appearance. We read that John saw a beast rise up out of the sea. The first thing that is brought to our attention is that the Antichrist arises out of the sea. Immediately, we want to know what this sea is in the mind of the prophet John when he wrote these words. We have two suggestions to make to you here. If this reference is a literal sea, then of course it means that the Antichrist will arise from a territory which surrounds the sea. If it is a literal sea, then it is a reference to the Mediterranean Sea, because that was the sea which was in the sight of the prophet as he wrote these words. The idea is, if the sea is to be interpreted literally, then the Antichrist should arise from some area around the Mediterranean Sea. If it is not a literal sea, however, if we are to interpret this word symbolically, then this verse refers not to a specific land, but rather to a race of people. Since the book of Revelation is filled with symbols, we have every right to examine every word in the light of symbolic representation. Accepting the symbols when they are there, and accepting the words as literal when there is no indication of symbolic representation. Will you turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 17. Here we have some references to this beast about whom we have been thinking. We also have reference to another character whom we will meet later on in our study, one referred to as the great whore. She is represented as riding the beast that we are thinking about the moment. There is a suggestion in this description of the sea. For this woman, the whore, is presented to us as sitting upon the sea or sitting upon the waters, as either one translates the word, sea or waters. Look at Revelation 17, verse 15. "He saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." This verse of Scripture tells us that when the sea, which is related to this beast, is mentioned here, it is not a literal sea, but it is a symbol of the Gentile nations from which the Antichrist will eventually arise. This will suggest to us, among other things, that the Gentile nations, the nations of the world, will be the area from which an individual will step into the place that has been made for the Antichrist. And this individual will be publicly declared to be the Antichrist by the middle of the tribulation period. Will you go back with me, please, to the 13th chapter and notice a further description that is presented of the Antichrist. Revelation 13:1, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Let us pause right there for a moment. If I were to ask you to try to describe the beast which we've been reading about, would you not find it rather difficult to do? I think you would, because he is not any certain beast, as is indicated by the fact that he is compared to a leopard, he has the feet of a bear, and he has the mouth of a lion. He certainly is not an ordinary beast, because he has 7 heads, and upon each of those heads is written the word blasphemy, because he is a most blasphemous beast. In addition to the 7 heads, there are 10 horns, and upon each of those horns is a crown, so that there are 10 crowns in all. You've never seen a beast like that, have you? Unless you've seen it in your dream, after you've eaten too much or drunk too much. It's a fantastic thing to consider. But we're not going to dismiss it and say, well, it's just a figment of John's imagination. Some of the men who are called higher critics, why they are called higher, I never will know, have just suggested that this could all be easily solved if we would recognize that John, because of his isolation on the Isle of Patmos, became subject to epileptic seizures, and during one of these seizures he had the vision that is presented to us right here, and he wrote it all down. We're not really supposed to understand it. It's not really supposed to mean anything. People who make such statements as that fail to remember that every portion of the Word of God must be examined in the light of other portions. So, when we come across in the book of the Revelation something that is not clear to us, we immediately begin to search the Scriptures to see if there is something either in the book of Revelation or somewhere else in the Word of God that will explain the symbolism of the words before us. We're never disappointed when we make the search. If you will turn with me to Revelation chapter 17 again, you will find an explanation of the 7 heads and the 10 horns. You will keep in mind that this is not the first time we have had them mentioned to us. We noticed them in relation to the dragon because he was represented as having 7 heads and 10 horns. And now the child to which he gave birth, figuratively speaking, is described in the same manner. What is the symbolism of the 7 heads and the 10 horns? Well, let's skip about in chapter 17 because of our time limit and glean the information we need. Notice verse 3. He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now here is a beast almost identically described. John immediately was interested in knowing the meaning of what he saw. So he asked, and in verse 9 the answer was given to him. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. The 7 heads on this beast, John is informed, represent 7 hills that are related to the location of the woman in question. We know immediately then that the 7 heads related to this beast indicate some particular section of the world in which he's going to have a very great interest. What particular place could that be? Well, skip down to verse 18 and read, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." A great city with 7 hills, which existed in John's day and which ruled over the entire earth, is symbolized by the 7 heads which this creature bore. If you are familiar with history, you know that that could be none other than the city of Rome. So we know immediately that the Antichrist is going to be related somehow during the tribulation period to the city of Rome. He's going to be related to the Roman Empire. Of what particular significance is that? What good will it do us to know that? Well, if you turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, you'll see the reason why God wanted to symbolize in the book of the Revelation that the Antichrist was related to the city of Rome. Because in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, we have a description of the tribulation, and in the midst of that description, a phrase which will describe the Antichrist. That phrase is the prince of the people that will come. But we're going to have to stop right here today. The next time we are together, we will look in detail at this 9th chapter of the book of Daniel.